morning. Okay. I want to read the Mishnah again and tie up some loose ends and then start reading the Gemara. So the Mishnah says, "Kol Yisrael yeshem chelek le'olam haba." All Yisrael has a portion in Olam Haba. Yesterday we focused on the words all Yisrael. But what is this Olam Haba that's referred to? We use the expression Olam Haba very casually. You know, somebody died and went to Olam Haba. In the future, there's Olam Haba. And so, as it's used in this Mishnah, the Machlokas, the Bartanura says that Olam Haba referred to here is Trias HaMesa. And he says, Olam Haba, Kan hu haolam haba achar tchiyat ha-mitim. It's the Olam Haba which will be after the dead have been revived, resuscitated, resurrected. Is the right word? Shatidim lachiyat lamod v'gufam. They will get up in their bodies, uvenafsham, with their souls, chayim nitzchim, for eternal life. Just like the sun and the stars and the moon, as Gemara will discuss in this parak, that mitim shatidim lachzor lachiyat ein chozrim lafram. The dead who will come back to life will not return to their dust. According to the Bartanura and others, even though that in that world there will be a soul within a body, but it will be a world with no physical needs, no eating, no drinking. Tzadikim sit with their crowns on their heads. We'll come back to the word their crowns, see the significance of that. And then he says the point we made yesterday, not everyone's going to have an equal share, but a greater person, a greater share, and a smaller person, a smaller share. And he says, and how do I know that the Olam Haba referred to here is Tchiyas HaMesim? Because the Gemara will immediately start to discuss Tchiyas HaMesim. Well, the Mishnah itself says who does not have a chelek in Olam Haba? Someone who says there's no Tchiyas HaMesim min HaTorah. That's the first person mentioned.
And so Tchiyas HaMesim, he means after Tchiyas HaMesim, or the actual present.
Olam Haba is the world to which, according to Bartanura, Olam Haba is the world to which the Mesim will awaken. In other words, they're not going to come back here. They're not going to come back to a world like we have now. They're going to come to the world of Olam Haba. That's the Bartanura learns. From the context that the Gemara mentions Olam Haba, it immediately, the Mishnah mentions Olam Haba, and then the Mishnah continues, and the Gemara is going to talk immediately about Tchiyas HaMesim. He says that is what Olam Haba is. It's Tchiyas HaMesim. Rav Avram Azulai, who, if you've heard of the Chidah, is the great-great-grandfather of the Chidah, a significant Mekubal, but also he also wrote a parish on the Mishnah. And he brings a proof from our Mishnah that Olam Haba referred to here is Tchiyas HaMesim, because the Pasuk Mar says, Kol Yisrael yeshlam chelek l'Olam Haba, everyone has a chelek in Olam Haba, Shneamar, as it says, V'amech kulam tzadikim l'Olam yershu aretz, Netzer matzai masei adai lipa'er. Your people will all be righteous. They will inherit the land forever, a shoot of my planting, my handiwork in which to glory. And when I read the Mishnah yesterday, I said, doesn't mean Aretz literally. It means Olam Haba. Rav Avram Azulai says, okay, no, it means Aretz. It means the land. So you see that Olam Haba is something physical. It's Tchiyas HaMesim. The Bartanura says, we'll have physical bodies, but we won't have physical needs. But what are we doing on the land if we're not physical? So you see that Olam Haba referred to here means the world after Tchiyas HaMesim, a physical world after Tchiyas HaMesim. That's what Rav Avraham Azulai explains.
Quick timing question. Did Tchiyas HaMesim happen at the beginning of the Messianic Age or the end? Do we know?
We know there are lots of opinions, and we'll talk about that.
Okay.
And we will talk about that. But not today.
Okay.
Okay. The Rambam says, well, I'll allude to it today, but it's not the detailed discussion for today. So that's how the Bar Tanura and Rav Avraham Azulai, among others, learn. The Rambam learns that Olam Haba and Ches HaMeisim are two separate things. And the Rambam defines several different categories. Okay? We say a person died, he went to Gan Eden. Person died, he went to Olam Haba. We use those terms sometimes, children or people who haven't, still have concepts of children. We use those terms synonymously. Okay? Rambam says we have Olam Hazeh. We have Yemos HaMashiach. There's Gan Eden and Gehenna. There's Olam Haba. There's Tchias HaMesim. They're all different things. So we will come back to all of those and see the various definitions of them. Okay. But that's what the Rambam says. Olam Haba here refers to the final stage, the ultimate good that we were all created to achieve. Okay? It's after Mashiach, it's after Tchias HaMeisim, it's separate from Tchias HaMeisim. Tchias HaMeisim, according to Rambam, is a physical existence that is connected to the days of Mashiach. We'll see exactly what the connection is at a later date. Okay? Then sometime at the end of time, after all of that, there's Olam Haba, which is a world that's with no physical existence. That's how the Rambam learns. And that's the Rambam understands is referred to here. Okay. Tiferes Yisrael, a commentary on the Mishnah from the 1800s, has sort of a compromised position. He says, Nir Ali, Tiferes Yisrael is also known as Yachin or Boaz, as this commentary is divided into two parts, Yachin and Boaz. This is in Yachin Os Beis, and he says, Nir Ali Dimilat Olam Haba Kan Ratzalamar Nitzchiyut Haba. It means eternity. Shukolel Schar Neshamat Achar Mitat Aguf, and that includes the reward that the neshama gets after the body dies. Begam Schar Aguf Achar Tchiyat Meitim. It also includes the reward that the body gets after Tchiyas HaMeisim. In other words, a person can lose all of that. Now, we'll talk at a future date about whether a person are these people losing Olam Haba, or did these people not earn Olam Haba? Which also is an interesting discussion. To allude to that discussion now, Rav Chaim Volozhin learns from our Mishnah, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek Le Olam Haba. It says, all Yisrael has a portion to Olam Haba, towards Olam Haba. Why not Be Olam Haba, in Olam Haba? So he says, Olam Haba is not a place that exists, that you go. So I have a share, I have a timeshare in Florida. I don't, but person could say that, right? Or it's not that I have a share in Olam Haba. It's there. It has my name on it. But rather, Rav Chaim Volozhin explains, a person creates his Olam Haba. The mitzvos that you do, they create some kind of spiritual light. We don't know what that is. We say schar mitzvah mitzvah. The reward of the mitzvah is the mitzvah. Your mitzvah creates something, that is your reward. The Gehenim is the whatever it is that you create by through your averos. So the pasuk says, "Ki al kol ele yavi elokim v'mishpat." In pasuk Koheles, that on all of these things, Hashem will judge a person. It doesn't say, I'm sorry, it says, ki et kol eila, ki et kol maseh, rather. Okay. Every action Hashem will bring to judgment, it doesn't say al kol maseh, for every action. It's the action itself that Hashem brings to judgment and determines, is this action light, is this action dark? And that becomes the reward. Okay. Again, it's a bigger discussion that we'll have at a later date. exactly what does it mean, a person that Olam Haba is not, it's not there waiting for us. We created ourselves. We'll try to understand that a little better at a later date. Just like many other things in the Mishnah that we will try to understand at a later date. I don't know which Ramban you're referring to. We will discuss lots of things.
Ramban, conception of Olam Haba.
We will. Okay. The point purpose today is just to tease you so you'll come back. The other loose end that I wanted to tie up from yesterday before we start reading the Gemara. The Mishnah said, Rabbi Kiva said that one of the people who does not have Olam Haba is someone who reads Sfarim Chitzoniim. And I told you, the Rambam's opinion is that means books that are a total waste of time, have no redeeming value whatsoever. And I mentioned there are other opinions, and one of the other opinions I mentioned was that it refers to the books that were candidates for Tanakh and did not become part of Tanakh. And I did not remember who the source for that. So just to tie that up, the source for that is a Medrash Rabbah and a Medrash Sikta Rabasi, as understood by Rav Ruvain Margolios in his Sefer Yesod HaMishnah V'Arichata. And Rav Ruvain Margolios passed away in 1971, was one of the editors of the Encyclopedia Talmudit. But he didn't make this up. It's based on Medrash Rabbah and Medrash called the Psikta Rabasi. And there are other opinions. We'll talk about that. The Yerushalmi explicitly says it's okay to read Homer. Interesting.
So it has redeeming value, I guess.
Well, or their understanding Sfarim Chitzoniim differently than the Rambam. We'll talk about that too when we get there in a Gemara. Okay.
Homer.
Oh, we're not going to talk about Homer.
So when he asked this yesterday, but so when he Margulies had this, I believe that the Ramban discusses some of these ones that were not included.
And I told you, so does the Gemara. Gemara itself quotes Ben Sira. When we get there in the Gemara. the answer to your question is, when we get there in the Gemara, we'll discuss it at greater length. It's an entire sugya of it relates to what is the Torah's attitude towards secular studies. It relates to what is the Torah's attitude towards Greek philosophy in particular. It relates to lots of different things. It's an entire sugya in itself, and we'll talk about it when we get there in the Gemara. And speaking of the Gemara, let's now start to read the Gemara. So, page Dalet. V'kolkach lama. So, why such a drastic response to someone who denies Tchias HaMesim to say he has no share in Olam Haba? Tana, who kafar b'tchiyat ha'mitim, afichach lo yelo chelik b'tchiyat ha'mitim. He denies tchiyas ha'mesim, therefore he will have no share in tchiyas ha'mesim. Seems from the simple reading of the Gemara that having no share in tchiyas ha'mesim is synonymous with having no share in Olam Haba, because the Mishnah said person has no share in Olam Haba, and the Gemara is using the terms interchangeably. Why is that? Everything Hashem does is mida keneged mida, measure for measure. I believe the English word for that is condign, C-O-N-D-I-G-N.
Condign?
Condign, I think. I saw it used once, and I think that means mida keneged mida. But We'll come back.
I'm not sure how you'd say it.
Okay.
I read it.
Homework. We'll go to the dictionary.
Right. We will come back. We will come back and talk about that, the subject of Mida Keneged Mida, in greater depth. Dam Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Amar Rabbi Yonatan, Minayin Shekol Midotav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mida Keneged Mida. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni said in the name of Rabbi Yonatan, how do we know that all of Hashem's Midos, the way Hashem measures things out, is Mida Keneged Mida, measure for measure, Shinemar. Vayomer Elisha Shimud Var Hashem Ka'et Machar Sa'as Solet B'Shekel V'Satayim Sorim Shar Shomron. There was a famine in Shomron. Shomron was the north central part of Eretz Yisrael between Yehuda and the Galil. It was the city of Shomron was the capital of the 10 northern tribes after they separated from Malchus Beis David, and there was a famine. And the Navi Elisha said, tomorrow a seah of flour will sell for a shekel and two seah of barley will sell for a shekel in the gates of Shomron. Uchtiv, Vayan HaShalish, the officer of the king responded, Vayomar, and he said, Hineh Hashem oseh arubot v'shemayim hayek hadavar hazeh. If Hashem will make openings, windows in the heaven. We've had this same word in last week's parsha that the arubot hashamayim opened up, the windows of heaven. Could this possibly be? If it would rain, if it would start raining wheat, could wheat be so cheap? So Elisha responded, "You will see it, but you will not eat from it." And what happened? Uchtiv, Vahilo Kain, and the pasuk continues. This is now Daf Tzadi Amud Beis in the Gemara. Vahilo Kain, Vayomisuoto Ha'am, Vashar Vayamot. That the this is Daf Torah for Parshas Mitzora. The four Mitzorayim were sitting outside. And they decided to, the Shomron was under siege. That's why there was a famine, because it was under siege. And they, these Mitzorayim decided to throw themselves on the mercy of the besieging army. And they went and they found the camp was empty because the besieging army had fled in the middle of the night because Hashem caused a miracle. And they thought that, you know, there were thousands of troops coming to fight them, and they fled and left all their food behind. And so the Mitzorayim went back and reported this, and now food was free, and because it was so plentiful. And so the Shalish saw this, and he was trampled in a stampede going to get the food, so he did not enjoy it. So you see, there's Mida Keneged Mida that he didn't believe, so he didn't enjoy it. Now, you see from here that you could ask, if a person doesn't believe in Chiyas HaMesim, so he doesn't have Chiyas HaMesim, then he'll say, so to speak, I was right. There's no Chiyas HaMesim. Right? So Farshim say, no, he'll get up for an instant, just to see there was Tchias HaMesim.
Oh, like this.
Okay? Mm. Exactly like this. Mm. This person didn't die before the salvation came. He did see the salvation. He just didn't get to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. So, he saw that it happened. He just didn't get to enjoy it. Right. So similarly, a person who denies Tchias HaMesim, I think it's a Marsha. I don't remember where I saw it. But it says he'll wake up for an instant to see that there was Tchias HaMesim, and then he'll
as opposed to seeing it from wherever he is at that moment, that location, if that is Tehanim Shemayim,
right.
As opposed to viewing it
from there.
And that all
is suggesting they actually have a physical awakening to see it, distinct from viewing it on what I'll call closed circuit TV from wherever he is.
Wherever he is, yes.
It looks different when you're in a body.
There you go.
Does this guy do it?
Yes. This was an officer of the king of the 10 tribes. We will also talk at a later date about Goyim and Olam Haba. Because the Mishnah says that Bilam has no chelak in Olam Haba. That implies that other Goyim do. So we'll talk about that too. I've wondered, Lahavdil, Arab suicide bombers, right? They get talked into committing suicide and they're going to go to paradise. I wondered along the same lines, after they blow themselves up, are they just gone? Or does Hashem give them the opportunity to say, oops, I blew it, I'm not going anywhere? Okay. Sorry?
They certainly did.
Yeah. All right. No pun. Pun was not intended. But, okay, well, unless it has a source in the Maral or the Marsha or the Rambam, we'll leave it for after this year. Okay. 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 Sigmar at yes.
The slingshot concept that he's like recreated.
Okay. And his source.
At least in the English book, does not have.
I know. I know that. Okay. Vidilma Sugmar asks, how do you know that what happened to that officer was Mida Knigid Mida? Dilma Kilat Elisha Garmali. Maybe he died because Elisha cursed him. Elisha said, you're not going to enjoy the. Maybe it's not because it was Mida Kenegan Mida. Maybe it's because Elisha cursed him. The Amar of Yudam Rav, as Yudah said, name of Rav, Kilalat Chacham, Afilu Bechinam Hiba. A curse given by a Chacham will happen even if it's not warranted. As we've learned in another Gemara, that Yehuda, the son of Yaakov, cursed himself. He said, if I don't bring Binyamin back, then I will be guilty all of my days. And as a result, Yehuda had trouble getting into his final rest. His bones were rattling around in his coffin until Moshe davened for him, because the curse of a Chacham, even if it's not warranted, will be fulfilled. Also a topic that deserves deeper discussion, and in Yirtzeh Hashem, we will. I wanted to cover a little ground, and then we'll come back and discuss some of these topics in general. Sigmar answers, Im kein lichtov vayirmasu vayamot, if the reason that this person died was because of the curse of Elisha, it would have been sufficient to say they trampled him and he died. But the Pasuk doesn't say that. The Pasuk says they trampled him basha'ar vayamot. They trampled him in the gate and he died. My basha'ar. Why does it say they trampled him in the gate? Al iske sha'ar. The word sha'ar has a double meaning. It means a physical gate, like the gate to a city. It also means prices. The prices. P-R-I-C-E. Yes. Prices. Okay. So Elisha said the price of wheat and the price of barley is going to drop. And he mocked Elisha. Okay? So he was trampled in the sha'ar because he mocked Elisha's nevuah regarding the prices. Therefore, he died. Okay? Otherwise, it's unnecessary to tell us where he died. Why is it relevant he died in the gate? It's not just a play on words. The fact that he died in the sha'ar, perhaps the reason the word sha'ar means both prices and gates is because the markets were near the gates, So the prices were set. People stood in the at the gates and haggled over the prices. So the prices were set at the gates. So it's not just a play on words, but he died in the gate because of the gates. Okay. And so we see that it is mida keneged mida. Now, the Gemara asks, Gemara started by asking, why is someone who denies, Gemara says, someone who denies Tchias HaMesim has no Tchias HaMesim, Mida Keneged Mida. Rashi points out that, Rashi in the Mishnah really points out that the Mishnah didn't just say someone who denies the existence of Tchias HaMesim, but even someone who denies that Tchias HaMesim is Minat Torah. In other words, if somebody would say, I believe in Tchias HaMesim, but I don't believe it's hinted to in the Torah, he would also have no portion in Tchias HaMesim. That itself, so the belief that Tchias HaMesim is in the Torah is an integral part of the belief in Tchias HaMesim itself, which leads to another question: why isn't Tchias HaMesim mentioned in the Torah explicitly? It is, as we'll see extensively in the Gemara in the coming days, it is hinted to in the Torah, but it's not mentioned in the Torah explicitly. Why not? Okay, we'll talk about that also. Tchias HaMesim. Also, Olam Haba is not mentioned in the Torah, and we'll talk about that too. Why? Or at least according to some Mefarshim, according to the simple reading of the Gemara itself later, Olam Haba is not mentioned in the Torah. Okay. Why not? We'll talk about that too.
Literally.
I'm sorry?
We alluded to it, referred to literally.
Well, the Gemara's language is that all the prophecies in the Nevi'im are only regarding the days of Mashiach. Olam haba, ayin lo ra'ata Elokim zulatecha. Olam haba, no eye has seen it besides God's eyes. No prophet has seen Olam haba. I'll give you a little hint right now. Maral explains that we can only think about things that we have words to think about, that we have some vision, you know, some imagery to think about. Olam Haba is so far beyond our imagery that the Nevi'im could not prophesy about it because there's nothing to relate it to. Mentioned last week, I think it was last week, okay, the Rambam says one of the things that's impossible to exist is a metal ship flying through the air. Right? But there are those who point out the greatness of the Rambam, even though he could not imagine how an airplane would work, but he could imagine an airplane, right? He did imagine an airplane. He just thought it was impossible, right? Olam Haba is something we can't even imagine. It's beyond our conception. Therefore, the Nevi'im and the Torah could not talk about it. There is an opinion, I think it's Rav Tzadok HaKohen, who explains why Moshe Rabbeinu stuttered. Moshe Rabbeinu stuttered because his mind, he had concepts in his mind that couldn't get into words. Like his mind was so far ahead of his ability to put it into words, so he stuttered. Okay. Not just his mind, but his nevuah, his what he received from Hashem, couldn't put it, you know, into words. It wasn't possible. Olam Haba is even beyond that. There's no imagery, the way the Maral explains, that could possibly conceive of what Olam Haba is. Nevertheless, we will talk about it, because there's a concept. Gemara says Chacham Adif Minavi. A Chacham is greater than a Navi. Why is a Chacham greater than a Navi? Because the essence of a Navi is to put things into words. So whereas a chacham, he can use his brain and not necessarily put everything into words. Okay? Like Moshe, again, Moshe Rabbeinu, there was a lot more in his brain than he put into words, than he could put into words, according to that explanation. So a chacham perhaps could imagine Olam Haba to some degree, but a Navi could not prophesy about it. And again, is another thing we'll come back and talk about more.
The question was asked, which is greater, Chachma or Nevuah? And you might think, I might think, I would suppose that Nevuah is greater, Nevuah is communication with God. But it came out that Chachma was greater
right.
because of the human labor, you know, to find these great ideas to plug into that.
So the Gemara of Chacham Adif Minavi, Chacham is better than Navi, is at the beginning of Masechet Baba Basra. Baba Basra is the Masechet before Sanhedrin. So Yiras Hashem will live to be at least 120, and we'll have time to go all the way through Shas, from Sanhedrin, where we are now, back to Baba Basra, and get there. Or maybe it will come up incidentally in some other context as we go along. But that's where that Gemara is. Okay, continuing now on page Vav. As I said, we're going to come back and talk in greater detail about some of these concepts. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Minayin l'tchiyat meitim in haTorah. So where is tchiyas hameisim in haTorah? We're going to have a lot of answers to this question coming up. She'amar, u'netzatem mimenu trumat Hashem la'aron ha'kohen. It says, you will give the truma of Hashem to Aaron HaKohen. Now, the mitzvah of truma is only in Eretz Yisrael. Aaron HaKohen never set foot in Eretz Yisrael. His life. All right, how can you give truma to Aaron HaKohen? Aaron HaKohen kayam lo'olam kayam v'alo lo nichnas Eretz Yisrael sh'nein lo truma. Aaron exists forever. He didn't even enter Eretz Yisrael in order to be able to receive truma. So you see that he will come back to life, Yisrael and Inlo truma, and Jewish people will give him truma. Mikan l'tchiyat ha'mitim in haTorah. From here, you see an allusion in the Torah to tchiyas ha'mesim. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, in Abraisa, in the yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, they learned, le'aharon ki'aharon. It doesn't mean you will give truma to Aaron. It means to Aaron himself. It means you should give truma to someone like Aaron. Ma'aron chaver, just as Aaron was a chaver. A chaver is the Gemara's term for the opposite of an ama aretz. And an ama aretz in the Gemara refers to a person who is not careful about tuma and tara, the ritual purity. Af banav chavirim, so too you should give truma only to a kohen who is a chaver. We learn you should not give a gift to a kohen who is an amaretz. Okay, and the Gemara will continue to discuss that topic before returning to tchiyas hameisim. Now, we saw already a machlokas between Bartanura, among others, and the Rambam, regarding the nature of the relationship of Olam Haba and Tchiyas HaMesim. According to the Bartanura, our Mishnah implies, and the Gemara complies, that Olam Haba and Tchiyas HaMesim are the same thing. Now, in Olam Haba, there's no eating and drinking. So the Bartanura says, there will be Tchiyas HaMesim, the body will come back, but it will not exist in a physical way as we know today. No eating and drinking. If that's the case, what are we giving Aaron truma for? Kohen is supposed to eat truma. In other words, if tchiyas hameisim equals olam haba, and olam haba, the Gemara says later, has no eating and drinking, then why are we giving Aaron tchiyas hameisim? Why are we giving Aaron truma? What's he going to do with it? So seemingly, this opinion would hold, like the Rambam, that Olam Haba and Chesed Meisim are two separate things. Okay. The Bei Rabbi Shmuel, the Brisa of the Bei Rabbi Shmuel, who says, don't learn Chesed Meisim from this pasuk. Okay. But rather, Le Aharon means Ki Aharon, give it to someone like Aharon. Okay. Perhaps that Brisa holds that Chesed Meisim and Olam Haba are the same. Depending on whether there will be eating in after Chias HaMesim, depending on if you hold there will be eating on after Chias HaMesim, then you can give Aaron Truma. If there won't be eating after Chias HaMesim, what would be the point of giving Aaron Truma? So that could be what these two opinions are arguing about. It also would resolve the question you otherwise might ask on the Rambam, which is that Gemara certainly sounds like Olam Haba and Chias HaMesim are the same thing. Well, here's a source that would seem to argue with that.
It's possible eating and drinking and not eating and drinking as we know it. It could be almost a pleasure in seeing these true offerings, even though you can't eat it. We can't get it at some other level. But bringing truma is a good delight.
But a kohen is obligated to eat the truma. It's a mitzvah. You can't
feel good about it.
It's not something you feel good about, right? It's a mitzvah. Davening is a mitzvah. Shaking a lulav is a mitzvah. If you look at the lulav and feel good about it, you didn't do the mitzvah. Right, so you're saying maybe the mitzvahs will be different in the future. That's a topic we could explore at a future, in connection with a future Gemara also. Okay.
So it's going on the assumption that it's a mitzvah that could be quickly, as opposed to Zohar, that says it's going to take 210 years, so maybe that could answer the question.
How
the 210 years that it's going on, they could be eating the
truth. I don't understand.
The
pasuk says you will give truma to Aaron.
Right. So
are you going to give truma to Aaron when he's alive or when he's not alive? You're mixing in something. I'm going to redefine the question, and you're going to tell me exactly how that answers the question. The pasuk says you'll give truma to Aaron. Aaron never set foot in Eretz Yisrael. Can't give truma to someone who's not in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, you see, Aaron will come back to life and get truma.
Like you said, somebody like Aaron. So
that's a different opinion. That's a different opinion. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is, you see from this pasuk that Aaron will come back to life and you will give him truma.
Okay, so when he comes back to life during the 210 years, I think according to some opinions, it's going to be during that time period, not everybody's going to be at one person. Kohan never going to come back.
Therefore,
during those 210 years, he could be eating the truma.
You need to show me a source that says, according to the Bartanura, who's a Rishon, who says that after Tchias HaMesim, there's no eating or drinking. You need to show me a source that says, for the first 210 years of Tchias HaMesim, there is eating and drinking. If you can show me such a source, great. Okay, then it's not relevant to our discussion.
So the other thing that is here is that Aaron, who was never in Eretz Yisrael,
right,
will be in Eretz Yisrael at Tchias HaMesim.
Clearly.
That is of significance as well.
I shouldn't say clearly, but you're right. That is. Well, we do know from other things we've learned that Chias HaMesim will take place in Eretz Yisrael. Right? Rashi says Yaakov Avinu wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael because Chias HaMesim will be in Eretz Yisrael.
But that seemed to be, he needed that physical presence there,
right,
to be in Eretz Yisrael, to come back in Eretz Yisrael. Whereas here we're talking about Aaron, who died in the Midbar, okay, the implication is that he will make it into Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
Because he was not buried in Eretz Yisrael.
What Rashi says is that those who are not buried in Eretz Yisrael, they will have to roll to Eretz Yisrael and then come back to life.
Oh, okay.
We will talk further about timing of Tchias HaMesim. Is it going to be everyone at once? Is it going to be Tzadikim first, everyone else later? That will answer questions such as who will build the Beis HaMikdash? The Rambam says that Moshiach will build the Beis HaMikdash, but there is a Gemara, it's a Menada Gemara, it's a Medrash that says that Moshiach will come and stand on the roof of the Beis HaMikdash, already built. Okay. This ties in to question of timing, when will Tchias HaMesim be? Also ties into contemporary issues, such as a person's attitude towards the state of Israel. Because according to Shemoneh Esrei, we have the bracha of Yerushalayim, and then the bracha of Es Tzemach David, which is Mashiach. It sounds like Yerushalayim is built before Mashiach comes. How does one understand that? According to the many people who people think it's just a Satmar Rebbe, it's not. Many, many Gdolim who were opposed to any building of Yerushalayim before Mashiach comes. What about our own Shemoneh Esrei? You know, all is tied up in one discussion, and we'll come back to it.
How do we know okay. It's not coming?
I'm sorry?
How do we know it's not coming? It said it will be rebuilt before Mashiach comes. Maybe Mashiach is coming.
Mashiach certainly is coming at some point.
And no, maybe soon. Maybe that's a sign that it's soon.
Okay.
Now, are we supposed to wait until the sign comes on Mashiach in 2 years? Or,
it's a topic. That's a topic that has been discussed extensively, and we will, in this Shem, discuss it. For now, continuing the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, Minayin she'enotnim truma l'kohen am haaretz, from where do we know that one should not give truma to a kohen who's not am haaretz? She'emar v'yomer la'am li'yoshvei Yerushalayim la'teit minat ha'kohanim v'halviim l'man yechazku v'torat Hashem. Pasuk says that he told the people, Chizkiah, the king Chizkiah, told the people, the inhabitants of Yerushalayim, to give the portion of the Kohanim and the Levim, the Truma and the Maser, in order that they should be strengthened in the Torah of Hashem. So from here you learn, Kol Machzik Petrat Hashem, Yesh Lo Menat, V'Sheino Machzik Petrat Hashem, Ein Lo Menat. One who holds on to the Torah of Hashem deserves a portion of Truma or Maser, and one who does not hold on to the Torah of Hashem does not deserve a portion of Truma or Maser. Amar Rav Acha bar Ada, Amar Rav Yehuda, kol hanotein Truma l'kohen am haaretz, kilu nitana lifnei ari. If one gives Truma to a Kohen who's an am haaretz, it's as if he placed it before a lion. Ma ari safek dereis vochel, safek eno dereis vochel. Just like a lion, when it catches an animal, it may eat it right away, or it may drag it back to its den to eat later. Af kohen am haaretz, safek ochel v'taras, safek ochel v'truma. So to a kohen who's an am haaretz, maybe he'll eat it in a state of purity, maybe he'll eat it in a state of impurity. Rabbi Yochanan omer, af gorim lo mita. Rabbi Yochanan says, if you give truma to his kohen who's an am haaretz, you cause him death. Shenemar, umeitu bo ki chalu. Pasuk says, they will die if they profane it. You cause him to commit many sins, Rashi explains. Says you will place on them many sins when they eat their kodshim. Okay. Tomorrow we will come back to one of the topics that I teased you about today.